Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this Saturday morning? Saturday afternoon for some of you. Hope you're all doing well. In case you're wondering why I've called you all here, we are traveling through the book, Divine Healing Made Simple. We're going to be covering chapter 26 in the book today. And it's about recording the testimony, which is a very interesting subject. It may seem boring to a lot of people, but it is actually a very interesting subject. I'm going to have to give you a history, my own history of sharing testimonies. So I began praying for people to be healed in 2008 after I had a dream. And in the dream, I met God, and He told me, "I want you to start praying for your patients. I'm going to show you what is wrong with them, and I want you to pray with them, and when you do, I'll heal them." Right? And up until that point, I did not believe in healing. I started praying for people, prayed for a lot of people, never saw anybody healed for a long time, for months. Even though I wasn't seeing anyone healed, God was giving me a lot of dreams where I saw people healed in the dreams as I was praying for them in the ambulance. I saw them being healed. So I was getting, and this is, I had just started having dreams too. I hadn't had dreams in 25 years. So dreams were new to me. Healing was new to me. The miraculous was new to me. And I was like a fish out of water. I didn't know which way end was up. I was just doing my best to try to obey God. And I kind of felt like, people were going to be healed eventually if I just stuck with it. So I started a blog, a Google blog called the Mobile Intensive Prayer Unit, and I was telling the stories of people that I prayed with, even though I wasn't seeing anybody healed. I was still writing these stories because I thought it would be encouraging to other people in healthcare if they could hear about somebody who was in healthcare who was praying for their patients. HIPAA laws being what they are, you are very restricted as to the information that you can provide on your patients. So I blogged anonymously under the name Praying Medic. That's why I chose the name Praying Medic, because I had to blog anonymously, and I anonymized my patients, and I didn't give their names out, any personal information, because, well, HIPAA laws, don't want to violate those. So I was writing and writing, and nobody was getting healed, and I was praying for people, and nobody was getting healed. And I just, like I said, I just knew that eventually people would get healed if I kept doing it. So then people started getting healed, 2009. I started seeing some miracles. I started seeing some people healed in the ambulance and in nursing homes and hospitals, people that I prayed for. And then Denise and I would go out to grocery stores, hardware stores, restaurants. We'd pray for people out in the public, and we started seeing more people healed. And I was writing their stories, and I kept blogging, kept writing. It was very comforting to me to finally see some people healed. But then I came upon this issue, and the issue is pride. In my former life, not like past life, but in before I became a believer, I was a very proud and arrogant person. Very proud and very arrogant. And I didn't want these stories that I was sharing on my blog to be a source or a tool that the enemy could use to get me filled with pride because I was finally seeing people healed. So I kind of wrestled with this issue for several weeks, and I began waking up in the morning at 4:20. Like every morning I would wake up, look over at the clock, it's 4:20 in the morning. I was like, "Well, what does that mean?" I'd wake up the next day, look at the clock, 4:20. I'd wake up the next morning, look at the clock, 4:20. No, it was not. God didn't want me to go smoke a doobie. Sometimes God will wake you up at a certain time and highlight the time because there's a message. He wants you to go look through the scriptures and find the message. Well, there was indeed a message in 4:20. So I started going through the Bible, and I came to Acts chapter 4, verse 20. You want to know what it says? All right. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. This was the Apostle Peter. When the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, were threatening to imprison the disciples for talking about Jesus and for talking about the healing and the miracles and the people that were being raised from the dead, they threatened them with beating and they threatened them with imprisonment. And Peter said, whether it is right to obey God or obey man, you decide. We must obey God, for we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. That was the answer to my question. So God was basically telling me through this experience, I need you to testify of the things you have seen and heard, and do it without being prideful and arrogant. All right. So getting the testimonies written down, recording the testimonies of people being healed, is a very important part of what we do. You know, if you look back through the Old Testament and you study the patriarchs, you study Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the patriarchs of Israel, whenever God did something amazing for them, whenever he came through, they would take a pile of stones. They would take stones and make a pile of stones, and it would be the stones would be a remembrance to future generations of something that God had done that was miraculous. They understood that having a testimony was important. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant, is also called the Ark of the Testimony. What was in the Ark that they carried around, that the Israelites carried around? The staff of Moses, a jar of manna, and Aaron's rod, right? Aaron's rod, even though it was cut off from a tree, it continued to sprout buds. The jar of manna was evidence of God's ability to provide food for them supernaturally in the wilderness for 40 years. And Aaron's staff was a symbolic relic of how he set them free from captivity in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea. The Ark of the Testimony was a visible reminder to them who their God was and what he had done for them. Preserving the testimony is very important to God. In fact, let me tell you about a dream that I had. All right. So in this dream, and this is probably 2010, I think, I had this dream where I was going around to various people's houses and apartments, and I was recording their testimonies of something miraculous that God had done for them. In some cases, it was financial miracles. In other cases, it was healing. But I was recording their testimonies, right? And I had to get down all the details. And I knew in the dream this was extremely important to God. He wanted their testimonies preserved. And the interesting thing about the dream was some of these testimonies that I was writing down were copies of testimonies that had previously been recorded but had been lost. And God did not want any of these testimonies to be lost. It was very important to him to have these testimonies preserved. So, it is very important to God that we preserve and we share the testimonies of what God has done. It is incumbent upon us. I can't stress how important it is. If God has done something miraculous for you, if God has done something amazing, if he has shown you some revelation about life, if he's given you some wisdom, if he has healed you, if he has taken care of a financial disaster, you know, unexpectedly came up with something that helped you out, it is incredibly important for you not to just to remember what he has done, but to share that testimony with other people. It's our good pleasure as children of God to share with the world the things that he does. Why is there unbelief in the world about God? I think a lot of people are skeptical about the existence of God or the goodness of God because people like us are not sharing the testimonies of the things that he does. And
well, we're calling it coincidence.
Yes. Oh, just a coincidence. Probably, just wishful thinking, maybe the placebo effect. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe God is actually, it actually does miraculous works, like it says he does in the Bible. All right. So, if you become stuck in pride while sharing the testimonies, that's your problem, right? And I should share this story. I have learned healing mostly by following watching the testimonies of people who are successful in healing. When I was starting out, I ran into Todd White, and I watched a lot of Todd White videos. And I watched him on the streets, this dude with dreadlocks, looked like a drug addict. He was getting people miraculously healed on the streets by commanding sickness to leave, commanding pain to leave, commanding ligaments and bones to be healed. And I watched many videos of Todd White, and he taught me how to operate in healing. I was watching his testimonies, and his testimonies helped me learn about the miraculous. I'm sharing my testimonies on social media because I want you to learn. I don't want you to come to me to get you healed. My job is to train you how to do it yourself. We all have access to the same power. We all have access to the same authority. No one is greater than anyone else. We can all do this. I have taught many people how to operate in healing and miracles and deliverance. It's not that hard. You just have to be willing to learn how to do it. And you need to be. And Lisa Sellers is a good example. Lisa there on Facebook. Lisa and I have chatted back and forth for a couple of years on Facebook. And she comes to me when she has questions. I have another friend named Dwayne who lives in Indiana. Whenever he has questions or issues, he messages me. We talk, we chat. I share some of my experiences. These people didn't know anything really much about healing years ago, and now they're operating in it in the miraculous all the time. That is what making disciples is all about. And part of making disciples is sharing testimonies. You have to share the success stories of the things that you've seen, that you witness. Dan Moeller is a great teacher. Dan Moeller was Todd White's pastor. Dan is an excellent teacher on how to exercise power and authority and identity. He's great. Andrew Womack is another one. Andrew Womack is a great teacher, great Bible teacher, and really understands power and authority and teaches well on it. All those people. John Wimber, another one. Really good teacher. So that is, it's a short message, but that is my message for today. There's not a whole lot that goes on with that. I would just encourage you, number one, to take seriously the commission that Jesus gave his disciples. When he gave them power and authority, he said, I'm sending you out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, and proclaim the kingdom. That is what we are supposed to be doing. That's Christianity 101. That is the commission Jesus gave the 12. He gave the same commission to the 70. And then he told the entire church before he left the scene, go out into all the ends of the earth and teach them what I've commanded you. What did he command them to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, proclaim the kingdom. That is basic Christianity 101. And when you do it, when you see people healed, it is good to share the testimony. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith also comes from experience. Faith or confidence that people are going to be healed, raised from the dead, set free of demons, faith comes from doing it. You have to step out of the boat. You have to get out on the waves, like Peter. You have to risk drowning in the ocean, but you have to get out of that stupid boat and you have to take some risks. And when you take some risks, sometimes you'll sink. Sometimes you'll walk on water. And it's not a good time to be arrogant or prideful. It is, however, a good time to share a humble testimony of what you can do when you obey God.
And be persistent.
And be persistent. Thank you, honey. And be persistent. Persistence is important. Yes, Lisa, you have to be willing to look dumb. Boy, isn't that the truth. You need to be willing to look a little foolish and stupid. That is true. When you're out there in public and you're praying for somebody and you're commanding their broken bones to be healed, anyone who's walking by is going to think you're a nut job. But it is what it is. When they get healed, you're not going to look so dumb.
And this is a common question. What if you need yourself to be healed before you can heal others?
You do not need yourself to be healed before you can heal others. You don't. John Jamerson has been not only healing people for years, John Jamerson teaches people to heal. And he has a Facebook group. He's been mentoring people in the miraculous for a long time. John Jamerson is in a wheelchair. He's paralyzed. The fact that you have an illness or a condition doesn't mean you're not qualified to operate in the miraculous. We all have sicknesses. We all have issues. I'd like to get my eyes healed one of these days. I have seen a number of people have their vision made perfect praying for them. But I have glasses because my vision is not that good. Doesn't matter. It would be great to get yourself healed, but you do not have to be healed before you get other people healed. Don't worry about it. Just go out and pray for people. Yep, Tyler Johnson is awesome. Tyler's a friend of mine. Tyler and the Dead Raising team. Jesse Berkey is another one. The list goes on. I posted a link to Jesse Berkey's book on Twitter last night. Jesse is a crazy man. I love the dude. He just got promoted to lieutenant with his fire department. Jesse has seen a number of people raised from the dead by prayer alone. Now, he's a paramedic, and he works with a drug box and defibrillator, but he has seen... Let me just share this testimony with you. It's in his book, Life Resurrected. He has a number of testimonies of people that have been raised from the dead that he's prayed for. One was a woman who was drowned. She was found on the bottom of the pool by her husband. And she had been underwater for a long time. And they had a long response to get to the house where she was at. She was deader than dead, drowned in a pool, found by her husband, swam in, dragged her out of the pool, brought her in the house. Family was doing CPR on her when Jesse and his team arrived on scene. Jesse was in the ambulance getting equipment ready for resuscitation, and he heard the Holy Spirit say, "I want to show you my power. I want you to declare life over her." And Jesse was like, "Yeah, but she's like all dead." And the Holy Spirit was like, "Listen to what I told you. I want you to declare life over her." Jesse went in and began declaring life over this woman. Before they intubated her, before they started an IV, she was on the heart monitor and she was flatlined. Jesse began declaring life over her and she came back to life. Had a pulse, woke up, and was able to talk, and had no neurological deficit. Just by declaring life over her. And he has a number of other stories that he talks about in that book, Life Resurrected. I have not seen anyone raised from the dead yet, but there are people like Jesse and Tyler Johnson who have seen people raised from the dead through prayer. David Hogan and Heidi Baker, they're amazing. David Hogan and Heidi Baker have seen so many people raised from the dead, it's crazy. And Heidi Baker, I mean, her testimony is they'll sit there and they'll just pray and intercede and pray over a dead body for 24 hours or sometimes a couple of days until they're raised from the dead. And I think Heidi Baker has seen over 80 people raised from the dead. David Hogan has seen more than 100. I think it's a lot more than that. I don't want to exaggerate. It's way more than that. They've both seen a lot of people raised from the dead. For what it's worth, when it comes to getting certain people healed of certain conditions, stroke, Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's disease, you know, whatever it is, It's always best to ask the Holy Spirit specifically how he wants this person to be healed. You know, sometime we need to have you on this broadcast, and you need to give your testimony of how you got healed. She got healed of a herniated disc in her back. And it's a great story, and she has not yet actually told the entire story on video yet. I need to get her to do that. Maybe I'll do that when I finish this book, before we go into the next book. We'll have her on, and I'll have her give her testimony. All right. That is all. I am going to get going. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for keeping Denise and I in prayer. Love you all, and we will catch you on the next broadcast.